Welcome to Talk Nation Radio and our special with Alaskan radio personality and journalist Shannon Moore. She's been very busy since Republican John McCain made his announcement that Alaska's Governor Sarah Palin would be his vice presidential running mate. Shannon Moore knows Palin and has interviewed her many times. In part two, we discuss Sarah Palin's legislative decision-making and the interest shown by high-powered figures, including Vice President Dick Cheney.
And when I heard that story, I thought, why is Dick Cheney calling Sarah Palin?
We'll hear more about that in a moment. First, Shannon Moore, Alaska's governor, would also have had a lot of interactions with very high-powered, wealthy individuals because she ran a 527 fundraising organization for Alaska Senator Ted Stevens.
I mean, Ted Stevens, he is very, very well-funded in his election campaign.
And yet, he's under investigation by the FBI, and there is the tie with Palin. Why do you think McCain chose her anyway? What do you think their logic was?
Well, I think this was, you know, the Hail Mary pass. You know, we're going to lose. They saw that after the Democratic convention. They've seen that with all the people showing up to vote. And the fact that, you know, Hillary Clinton had gotten on board so solidly with Barack Obama, they weren't going to have all those disgruntled voters. Although I think that's going to be part of their story should the election get close. I can't imagine anyone who is a Hillary supporter saying, you know, just voting with their ovaries because Sarah Palin is a white woman. I mean, you just can't possibly think that women would be so shallow.
You spoke previously about the Clean Water Initiative, her vote against that favored Northern Dynasty. Wouldn't it be possible that company had contributed either to Stevens or to Palin's own campaign?
Yeah, I actually went and looked at the Alaska Public Offices Commission webpage to see who exactly, what companies had been funding her, and it's been really, now it's rerouted. There's something going on with, I don't know if it was just too many people trying to get on there, but the state website has been scrubbed. I've saved numerous documents just in my own research for my radio program. Numerous documents have been scrubbed off of that. The Anchorage Daily News has been scrubbed in many places. And so I don't know if the Alaska Public Offices Commission is just being overloaded with people trying to find out. But, yeah, it's pretty devastating.
Well, when you talked about the press and how her picture started to appear sort of timed to make a difference in a policy measure that she was representing, who would be behind something like that? How would she work the media that way?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. No one can figure out who asked the question. She was asked at a press conference that she had called for a different topic. How are you going to vote on ballot initiative 4? And no one knows, including her press secretary, Bill McAllister. I called him and talked to him. I talked to everyone else I knew in the press saying, do you know who asked her about ballot initiative 4? No one had ever seen him before. No one knows who he is still. So, I mean, she's asked that in public, and then her state picture that's on everything was on every ad campaign that said, Governor Sarah Palin is voting no. Please vote with Governor Sarah Palin the next day. And until Tuesday, that's what their whole campaign became.
Let's listen now to former White House Chief of Staff Karl Rove explaining on Fox Network what he knows about the vetting process of Governor Sarah Palin. And he says Arthur B. Culverhouse participated in the vetting process in Alaska. Culverhouse, a Bush appointee to the President's Intelligence Oversight Board in 2006.
The team that was sent to Alaska was sent after McCain had made the decision and she had accepted. And the object there is to have the team on the ground to handle anything that popped up after her announcement and to make sure they had a great chorus of favorable local people to be supportive of her and to say things about her.
But the original vetting of her
vetting
record
was done earlier in the year by A.B. Culverhouse and a team of lawyers. It involved, you may remember, there was a mention that A.B. Culverhouse was seen in Alaska this summer that made it into the hotline, but it was dismissed as he was on a family vacation. Well, they carefully vetted her in advance. They had a team of lawyers go over all her documents. She submitted, you know, reams of paper. They had 70 questions that they asked her. Culverhouse had a 3 to 4 hour long interview with her. They vetted her as A.B. Culverhouse, who has a reputation for being meticulous and thoughtful and very low key. did this out of the
and all the stuff about, well, that had gotten into the press, all the stuff about the so-called Trooper Gate,
right.
whether or not officials in her administration pressured the public safety commissioner fire her ex-father, brother-in-law,
right.
the stuff about her daughter, all of that, and the McCain campaign knew about.
DUI at the age of 22, they knew about all that.
A story, obviously, to watch. I tried to get A.B. Culverhouse on the air for listeners, but his secretary told me that she was not allowed to give out information about his role, if any, in the vetting process of Governor Sarah Palin. And she said she would pass along my contact information to him, and we're awaiting contact from Mr. Culverhouse. Interestingly, A.B. Culverhouse also held Karl Rove's job during the Reagan administration. He was White House counsel, too, and an advisor to Reagan on the Iran-Contra investigations. Culverhouse contributed the maximum amount to the McCain campaign, but perhaps one of the most interesting ties he has is with Vice President Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, who appointed him to head the Federal Advisory Committee on Nuclear Failsafe and Risk Reduction. Culverhouse advised on the U.S. Nuclear Command and Control System. Shannon Moore, getting back to Alaska, Dick Cheney's name has come up in regard to an Alaska story. This has to do with the natural gas pipeline bill. During a secretly tape-recorded conversation in June of 2006, Stevens talked about ways to get a pipeline bill through the Alaska legislature with Bill Allen, an oil services executive accused of providing the senator with about $250,000 in undisclosed financial benefits. And according to a justice motion, Stevens told Allen, "I'm going to try to see if I can get some bigwigs from back here and say, look, you got to get this done." And 2 days later, Vice President Cheney wrote to the Alaska legislature and urged members to promptly enact a bill to build this pipeline. You mentioned this interesting anecdote about Dick Cheney and Governor Palin.
So Sharon Lahow, who is her spokesperson, one of her spokespeople, was interviewed and about Sarah Palin's ability to be a mother and a governor and do both of these tasks so well. And she said, "Oh, well, you know, with Sarah Palin, her family comes first. I've seen her on the phone with Dick Cheney and had the Senate leader standing outside of her office waiting to speak with her, and one of her kids calls, and she puts both Dick Cheney and the senator on hold." And when I heard that story, I thought, why is Dick Cheney calling Sarah Palin? Why are they having conversations? This is about oil. And so when everything sort of got greased through with the gas line and it going to a Canadian company instead of an Alaskan company, the fact that they're taking that gas to Canada to cook the tar sands out to produce their oil, not to come down through Alaska and be liquefied and go into the open market, that was really disturbing, because Sarah Palin really, when she was running with Wally Hickel's support, he's a former governor, who was very much for an all-Alaska gas line that would come right down, it would go right alongside the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline, and then just be right there. It would be within 5 years. The permitting process was already there. We already had studies done on this, the, you know, FERC reports, all of it. And so when that all switched out, I was really wondering why she wasn't investigating a Shanghai that had happened to the Alaska company by one of the major oil companies. And I asked her attorney general, why aren't you investigating that this company was Shanghai during the process? Couldn't get an answer. And now I see exactly what this was about in long range. It makes complete sense to me.
I just can't help but wonder whether or not the FBI's inquiry now has led them to any of the transcript of that conversation, and whether or not, you know, the name of this guy from VECO, let me just find
VECO, his name is Bill Allen, and I can tell you, Bill Allen was this roughneck. He's a character, let me tell you. He was a roughneck that came to Alaska and no education at all, started one of the most successful companies ever in Alaska, employed thousands of Alaskans, and he was an oil services company. He was hired by all of the big three to do whatever their bidding was, whether it was, you know, we need to have this cleaned up, we need to have some buildings built here, all sorts of things that he was doing. He really got built during the Exxon Valdez case when he was hired basically to power wash rocks in Prince William Sound. I mean, they spent a lot of money, and he was an oil services contractor. Well, he is the guy who is the government's lead witness, and I sat in all these trials that have come up against our state legislators and listened to him testify against them and listened to him testify on tapes that were secretly being taped at his Baranoff 604 room in Juneau, where it was just known that's where all the wheeling and dealing was going on. And Bill Allen was there, and there was lots of booze and talk of cheap women and how they were actually going to get this gas line through. Now, when they were trying to pass the original one that now is corrupted, Bill Allen took a phone call from Jim Bowles, who is still the president of ConocoPhillips, one of the big three here, and he told Bill Allen, basically, look, gavel out the House, we'll rodeo the Senate. And Bill Allen says, okay, well, I've got Pete Cott working for me and Ben Stevens being Ted Stevens' son. They pushed this through and they bought their vote. Bill Allen, who is sitting in court, said things like, oh, wow, well, someone asked him during the trial, they said, did you know you were being taped? And he said, God, no, I would never said that. I mean, he is just this sort of cowboy character. His company he was allowed to keep. He sold it for over $400 million shortly after his indictments. The only shareholders were his children. And he is working for the government now. Well, he and Ted Stevens were very, very close friends. They owned several companies together. One of them was a racehorse that they owned together. They have just an amazing amount of connections. But Bill Allen and Ted Stevens ran into each other at the Federal House one day, and after all this broke. And Bill looked at Ted and said, how are you doing, Ted? And Ted said, don't speak to me. You're no friend of mine, after they'd been friends for 40 years. So I knew that Bill Allen was going to be used to testify against Ted Stevens. But when you're looking at this, VECO never owned a gas line, and they never owned any of the gas leases. So why would they be the ones buying the votes? Why would they be the ones who are setting up these vote laundering enterprises? Well, it's obvious. They were getting their marching orders from BP and Exxon and ConocoPhillips. And so the phone taps that happened with the FBI were huge. There are volumes and volumes of them. And the day that Ted Stevens' house was raided in Girdwood, where this so-called remodel job and everything happened, the FBI was there. I went there. I was on the scene. And I knew, as serious as the FBI was, I mean, they had just, it looked like ants crawling all over the building. I knew that with a Republican president, Republican House, and Republican Senate, they had to have something huge on him to be able to go in and raid his house. And I think what they do have is this, the energy policies and the connection with the big three is what it is. And they couldn't stop it. I mean, the Department of Justice has been on this for very many years, and they'll be on it after George Bush is gone, certainly, and Dick Cheney.
VECO's Bill Allen, how would you compare him to Sarah Palin's husband? I know he works in the oil industry too, right? What kind of a guy is he, and can you compare these two individuals in terms of their life stories and their personal style?
You know, Bill Allen is sort of this Archie Bunkerish sort of guy. You know, he's an older man, he's had a stroke, he's certainly not the power mogul when you see him testifying for the government that we once saw swaggering around. Very much Archie Bunker meets, you know, John Wayne. And he really wanted, I think he did a lot of great things for Alaskans when it comes to all this disemployment. But the unfortunate thing is he got in bed with some pretty corrupt folks and became part of the colonization of Alaska through our legislature, you know, certainly coming down from big oil. But he's very different than Sarah Palin. I don't think Sarah Palin would knowingly ever be bought. I think that she's probably easy to influence. I've called her Governor Gump for a long time because I think she's always in the right place at the right time. People want to help her. She's very, very likable. and seems pretty naive. Like when I had asked her about her influence over the ballot initiative four, she was like, well, I'm not a spokesperson. You know, I was just saying my opinion. She's really nice. And so I don't think she, you know, she's like Forrest Gump in the sense like where he was like, wow, look at me, here I am, I'm at the White House. And, oh, look at me, here I am, I'm doing this. And it's sort of, it doesn't occur to her possibly that she's being sort of herded into these positions. And I think it's a little bit sad that, you know, she's been picked because she's being thrown into a spotlight that she had never prepared for, certainly hadn't prepared for an Alaska level, because, you know, the head investigator in Juneau on her investigative reporter for her for the last 2 years is now been hired to be her spokesperson. Bill McAllister was the lead guy in Juneau for the biggest news station here. And I talked to him last week trying to find out who had asked her the prop question, the ballot initiative question, and who had asked it. He didn't know. And then we talked for a while. I said, how do you like your new job, Bill? And he said, she's the most remarkable person I think I've ever met. And he had, and he's like, you know, just sort of has this crush on her that I really think affected his journalistic abilities at the time. And I think so many people are charmed by her. I mean, she'll make cupcakes for people on their birthday. She's that lady that you just go, oh, she's just nice and wow. But when it comes to having someone in the White House, having someone in the White House who's like going to get it when they're being manipulated, I don't think she was making cupcakes to make friends. I think she's nice, but that's truly what happened, was no one really got that critical over some of the decisions she made.
Hard to imagine someone like her. You know, it's been a source for both entertainment and amazement, but I understand finally, too, that some corporations are not thrilled, and there may well be a groundswell of companies that are asking to see McCain pick somebody else.
That would be interesting to me. And I know now that she was not who he really wanted to go with. You know, I don't know how it's all going to lay out, but she's a woman I would love to go fishing with, but I would be terrified were she the vice president or, you know, a heartbeat away from the presidency, because she really does believe what she says. She really does believe that people shouldn't have a choice. She really does believe that, you know, she's a creationist. She thinks that creation should be taught in the schools. Well, wow, did God just create oil too? Like, what day did he do that? You know, so it's kind of an interesting character when you look at her. She's real.
That's a good question, though. How can someone who is being described by Republican spokespersons for John McCain as an expert on energy believe that the world was made 5,000 years ago? Because everyone knows that oil and coal both date back millennia.
I know, and it's like, well, maybe that science is just a trick from the devil. I don't know. It is strange, and when they're touting her as an energy expert, she's not an energy expert. If she were an energy expert, she would have figured out real quickly how we could use the surplus that we have as a state right now to be tapping. We have the hugest amount of tidal energy in the world. We have geothermal like nowhere else that could have been tapped. We have wind farms. We have hydro that could have taken down this huge grid structure that we have to have in Alaska that you lose energy on. And yet she did not use any of this surplus that we have as a state right now for these sorts of energy projects. But she turned around and gave every man, woman, and child in Alaska $1,200 in energy rebate on top of our $2,000 dividend. And so when I look at those things, I was really disappointed when it came out that she was going to give a one-time energy rebate. We could have taken all this money, $1 billion. We could have taken this and really done something that was substantial, long-term for the energy needs of Alaska. And had she really had some sort of forward vision for energy and being an expert in it, you know, we have towns in Alaska that are paying $10, $12 a gallon of heating fuel. You know, people are really hurting, and the solution isn't move to Anchorage. The solution is how do we create energy in your environments where you're at now, whether using tidal or hydro or wind, to take some relief off. It was really short-sighted. That's not being an energy guru to be able to give rebates because you have an oil surplus.
But doesn't it sound again like this was a choice made to win voters, a political choice, rather than one having to do with the environment or energy?
This was a selection made about getting elected, not about how they're going to actually have an administration. And that just leads me to believe what I've thought for quite some time now, that it's not the president right now, it's not George Bush making these policies. It's not really important to them, the characters that are in there. John McCain has shown time and time again that he is completely able to let go of any sort of personal integrity to fall in line with the GOP. I mean, perfect example was torture. He should have known above and beyond anybody else that it doesn't work and that it's wrong and it's not who we are. You know, he had a platform to stand up against this president and say, you know what, torture's wrong. I know this. And he let that go and fell in lockstep. He's able to fall in lockstep with the GOP. And I think that they're just trying to get elected so that, you know, they can just keep that control, whether it be to keep this cronyism going, to keep Halliburton and Blackwater and the oil and energy companies all getting richer.
Shannon Moore, what about torture? What about Palin? Do you happen to know any of her views on that? I know on your website, Just a Girl from Homer, you mentioned torture in the context of Ted Stevens and the senator and his policies, and you were critical of him because you say that he was supporting the GOP on that. But what about Sarah Palin?
You know what? Who knows? These are questions that have never been asked of her that I know of. I don't know why Sarah Palin would ever be asked about what are your views on torture. It doesn't come up here a lot. You know, I don't know how she feels about that, but I know that she supported Ted Stevens. She has worked on getting him reelected. She has been favorable of him in so many ways. So I have no reason to think that she wouldn't vote right alongside however they told her to. Actually, in the Constitution, it's not supposed to be how you decide who's the president by a religious measure.
This question of the experience of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
People keep saying that she has more experience than anyone else on either ticket because she's been the governor of a state with a population less than Brooklyn. I actually think she hasn't had the experience because of the appointment. Now, Joe Biden and Barack Obama both went through this entire, year plus, of public vetting. Anybody who had any stories, we certainly saw what happened to John Edwards during the public vetting. And, you know, what there is to be dug up on any of them is out there. Sarah Palin was appointed. She has not been scrutinized by the public in Alaska because, well, you know what? She's a nice lady. And she's doing okay. I mean, she's doing okay because a Democratic leadership in Juneau has really, really worked with her to try to get their agenda pushed through. But she has not been through a public vetting process the way she has in the last several days, certainly. And I don't know how it's going to fall out for her. But in Alaska, we'll pick up the pieces and share some moose stories, and she'll be all right either way.
Now, what's the meaning of Just a Girl from Homer, Homer, Alaska?
I'm from Homer, Alaska, yes. And remember the Saturday Night Live, I'm Just a Caveman? And then he'd win his case. Because I think most things are pretty simple. I think if you boil down our social issues right now, they're pretty simple. We get convoluted and wrapped around the cogs with, should gay people be allowed to get married? Are we really talking about what grown-ups can do? I mean, are we? And these issues that get brought up that are personal issues that become public policy. If someone is anti-abortion, they shouldn't have one, and they should make sure they have birth control. If, you know, you don't think gay people should get married, well, then be straight and don't get a divorce when you get married. If you don't want people to have guns, well, then don't own one. But that's something that happens in your own home. But when we're looking at things that we can do together, when we're looking at foreign policy, we're looking at our reputation on a world scale, when we're looking at who we can help and what we can do in our own country, these things are not being addressed. The mortgage crisis, you know, the health care crisis, these are things that I can't solve in my own home. But we get wrapped up in public policy about personal decisions, and it really is by design.
Are you saying that, you know, if they can keep the focus of the debate on family values and maybe Sarah Palin, they don't have to talk about either Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan or what John McCain might do in Iran or how he will really deal with Russia?
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going to be talking about They're going to get people stirred up about family values, whether they're upset about Sarah's family values or they support him. It's a distraction from them talking about the fact that, you know, I think a family value is being able to provide health care to your children and to yourself in the event that you get ill. I think a family value is being able to afford the house that you got into and that the market isn't plummeting. I think a family value is the fact that the dollar has fallen so much, and we have a tax called inflation that no one talks about. You know, energy crisis. We are in an energy crisis because we've been colonized by big oil. So we're not talking about those things, and this is all by design. I think the biggest part of John McCain's selection was that he does not want to talk about the issues. He doesn't want to talk about the fact that he has absolutely marched lockstep, 90% of his votes supporting George Bush, who is so unpopular that a Category 1 storm is keeping George Bush from going to the convention. Does anybody buy that?
Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special Talk Nation Radio election series, an interview with one of Alaska's leading progressive radio personalities, Shannon Moore. Her blog is Just a Girl from Homer. I'm Dori Smith. You can listen to our program Wednesdays at 5 p.m. at FM 91.7, WHUS in stores, and you can listen to us online at whus.org. And go to my website, talknationradio.org, for transcripts, audio, and discussions. Thank you.